This is the IBJ Podcast for the week of November 19th, 2018. I'm Mason King. The sounds you hear in the background are from the inner loop of Interstates 65 and 70 that rings three sides of downtown Indianapolis. Specifically, these were taped on the east leg of the loop, about where Vermont Street goes under the interstates. Originally designed and built about 50 years ago, the vast majority of the downtown inner loop is elevated, raised up on large berms or massive platforms, so the major city streets on the downtown grid can go beneath it. It doesn't look great. Nobody likes to see interstates running through their backyards, and it's loud. But that's the way it's been for 50 years. Notoriously, the project had the effect of fragmenting neighborhoods close to downtown, displacing residents, and rendering large swaths of real estate on the perimeter of the interstates useless. The group Rethink 6570, a coalition of community and business leaders, has an idea for helping to heal, as they put it, these inner loop gashes in the fabric of downtown. It is proposed that the Indiana Department of Transportation seriously consider lowering portions of the inner loop below street level in what would look like long trenches. The concept is known as a recessed or depressed highway, and the group is looking for some kind of commitment from the state right away because of NDOT's North Split project. As Indy residents know, the North Split is the northeast corner of the inner loop where Interstate 65 and 70 intersect. Of course, Rethink and NDOT sparred earlier this year over the state's plan to rebuild or reconfigure portions of the North Split. Rethink objected to adding lanes of traffic and unsightly retaining walls in some areas. And just last month, the state agreed to scale back the plan with an alternative they're calling 4C. Detailed design work is about to get underway, and the state has said it hopes to begin construction next year. Rethink wants to make sure whatever is built can accommodate a recessed system when the time comes to rebuild the inner loop. And they say it's going to require the state to do a serious study. So today on the podcast, we'll hear from Paul Knapp, one leader of the Rethink Coalition and CEO of the Young and Larimore Advertising Agency, which is located along the eastern leg of the loop. And then we'll get the state's take on what Rethink is proposing and whether it's willing to entertain the idea. Let's start with Paul. Paul, appropriately, are in the Young and Larimore headquarters, and we are actually looking at, I believe this is the east leg of the North Split. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, we're looking at the Midland Antiques building, and the highway is raised up, I don't know what that is, 15, 20 feet.
That's about right.
So here we are. I mean, we're dead center in the middle of this. When we look out over the inner loop, the legs of I-65 and I-70, on the north, east, and south edges of downtown, they're almost all entirely elevated.
Yes, in parts they actually do recess right when you get over to Fletcher Place and Fountain Square. But for the most part, they are elevated.
And this is my experience when I drive around the Midwest, when I go into towns. You know, usually their outer loop is elevated. Everybody does this. What is wrong with that? Why, at least here in Indianapolis, why do you think that needs to change?
Our position is that when it was constructed originally as an elevated highway, it did a lot of damage as far as to neighborhoods and commercial areas, sort of splitting them, dividing them. And is there a better approach? And we believe there is a better approach now. And using the lessons of hindsight, there is a better approach, and that is to recess the interstate, the through lanes of the interstate, and allow the city to, in a sense, heal and reconnect all of the grid.
So the grid actually would run over these below grade legs of the interstates.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, right now you can drive under the interstate at some points.
At some points, but not all. Many of the streets are cut off by the interstate, especially in the east side and the south side. North side has several that are still running underneath the interstate, but on the east side and the south side, they're largely cut off.
And this is literally what it sounds like, digging a trench.
Exactly. It'd be open air. The concept that we revealed on November 12th is an open air, recessed interstate through lanes. And then as you would approach the downtown inner loop, you as a driver would have a choice to make whether you're going to go through the downtown area. And if that was the case, without stopping, you would get onto the through lanes and you would travel through quickly. If you're going to get off, you would then take a route that would take you up to a grade lanes, which would allow you to then get off on any of the streets that are already in the grid.
So if I was right over here and I wanted to get off on Michigan, that would end up being a grade.
That's right.
Street. But if I wanted just to go around the loop,
exactly,
that would be the recessed highway.
And there would be a few opportunities along the way to get back up onto grade, but for the most part, those recessed lanes would be through lanes.
There's a greater sense of connection now with the neighborhoods that are right outside the loop.
Yes, and the areas of commerce. So that's one of the big advantages. And the second is that it allows you to dramatically compress the footprint that is necessary for the interstate. And this has been done. This isn't just a pie in the sky idea. This is a concept that has actually been executed right down the highway from us in Cincinnati, right on the riverfront with Interstate 71, and it was done 15 years ago. And that's where they took what was done along the riverfront, separating a downtown from the river back 50 years ago with a very wide highway, and they took it upon themselves to dramatically compress it, thereby create a lot of new land in very urban areas. So very valuable land was now created by shrinking the footprint of the recessed highway and opening up land for development. That could be done here. Our design opens up a tremendous amount of opportunity for development.
So this plan actually frees up land that currently is required for the way that it's configured, kind of above grade.
That's exactly right.
The land would open up along the perimeter of the highways.
Yes.
As they are now. And I would assume that land is owned by the public, it's by the state? Or
yes, it's owned by the state. It would become very valuable urban land along what would then become a recessed interstate, which, as we've shown in the designs, actually becomes more of an amenity than a barrier. Mm-hmm. So it would be very valuable land, and as we've add up parcels, it comes to 83 acres. So it's a tremendous amount of essentially new land, because today, obviously, the land is there, but it's out of circulation because it's part of the right-of-way for the interstate.
So that could be commercial land, could be businesses, could be parks?
Yes.
I understand.
Yeah, and what we asked our, we retained, as a coalition, we retained an outside firm of international fame, a group called ARUP, to take a hard look at this and come up with the measurement of what are we talking about? What could this really generate? Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that came up with the measurements of the 83 acres and the number of parcels, and tried to give us a preliminary look at what you could do with this land. And essentially, they, because of where the land is located, some of it is up by the O'Bannon Park, so that land might not go to development, but it might go to enlarging that park. They came up with about 46 acres of land for commercial development and approximately 37 acres for park.
And the way I understand it is, one of the advantages of this, of the way of doing this, is that the commercial land comes back onto the tax rolls eventually. I mean, as we've seen in some other projects,
it takes
in downtown Indianapolis, I mean, disposing of that land, or however the state or the city wants to find somebody to develop it, I mean, it's a pretty lengthy process.
The point is, the direction that NDOT is going gives you no upside. Mm. And the direction that we're going, the design we're putting forth, gives you tremendous upside for the next 10, 20, 30 years. And that's what we really need to be focusing on. We're not just talking about repairing a road. We're literally talking about changing essentially the front door, if you will, or the front three doors of the downtown area for the next 30 to 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. Just like the current highway has defined the downtown area for the last 50 years.
So I hear 1 million taxpayers in the back of my mind saying, well, how much is that going to cost?
Yeah, and that's a very fair question. And unfortunately, we're not in a position, the coalition is not in a position to give a dollar amount on that. You could ballpark it or spitball it. I don't think that's fair or an appropriate way to approach it. You need to approach that with a serious study, and that takes more funds than we have available. When we started this effort in the spring, we actually approached the state and suggested that the state engage in a study much like what ARUP just did for us. They had no interest in doing that. So the coalition spent the summer raising the $55,000 that it took to engage ARUP to do the study that we just completed. Mm. That came from private sector, private businesses, private organizations, civic organizations who felt the need to really get a handle on the first phase of this. And you know, arguably that's money that state should have spent to really take a look at the options. The next phase of asking what would be the cost of doing a recessed interstate versus an elevated interstate, that could fall in the range of $150,000 to $250,000 to do a serious evaluation of those and comparison of those costs. That's beyond our means. We would call upon the state or the Metropolitan Planning Organization and or the city to take a serious look at the upside potential of the design we're putting forth, get together and find the funds to do a serious look at the cost.
Yeah. And does that need to happen now?
I think it should happen now. The most immediate thing that needs to happen, which is our first call to action, if you will, Monday evening, is to, and what we're asking our supporters and citizens to do, and that is to ask NDOT and NDOT's boss, who's the governor, to make sure that the design they're putting forward and they're marching forward with for the North Split, that design not prohibit a future that includes a depressed interstate for the north and east legs. And this gets a little bit confusing as we talk about legs and the North Split. I think most people understand what the North Split is. For years, we've talked about the spaghetti bowl, you know, on the northeast corner of the downtown area. The North Split, as the state defines it, is actually bigger than the spaghetti bowl itself, where all the highways cross over
right,
each other.
Right, it looks like a bunch of, like, pretzels.
Yes, that's the spaghetti bowl. But the state defines the North Split it includes the spaghetti bowl, but it also includes the approaches to it. So on the east side, it includes 70 all the way out to Commerce, which is almost out to rural. On the west of the spaghetti bowl, if you will, goes to Meridian, really, certainly to Pennsylvania, right, if not Meridian.
And that's 65.
That's out to 65. And then south, it reaches almost down to Washington Street.
Right, which is what we're looking at right now.
What we're looking at right outside the window. Yeah. So it's very important that those approaches be constructed in such a way when they redo the North Split that they don't build those in such a way that eliminate the opportunity for a depressed interstate in the next phase. Mm-hmm. And that could be done, but it takes a commitment on the part of NDOT to construct the North Split in such a way that it could accommodate that.
Mm. The plan that the state landed on after a lot of back and forth between them and Rethink and people who are interested in kind of mitigating some of the impact of the redesign, and not necessarily redesign, but improved, repaired North Split.
Well, I would tell you on the they did redesign the North Split. Their original direction was very different, mm-hmm. and we've given them credit and applauded them. You know, we set out early on four principles that we thought any reconstruction had to meet. And they're longer than what I'm going to say here, but in short, they are no above-grade walls, no expansion of lanes, and increased connectivity, which we've already talked about, connectivity between neighborhoods and commercial areas, and increased opportunities for economic development. NDOT deserves credit for listening not only to Rethink, but everybody else that's been at the table when there was a lot of pushback on their original direction. And their new design that came out, I believe, September 28th or 29th, did a very good job of reducing the number of above grade walls, didn't eliminate them, but it greatly reduced the number of above grade walls and greatly eliminated the expansion of lanes. So kudos to them. Thank you for listening. Terrific. But the other two principles are just as important as the first two. And there really was essentially no improvement made on connectivity issues and economic development issues.
So that's where we are right now. You've publicly presented the plans.
Yes.
And have you been in contact with NDOT?
We had reached out to them prior to the public meeting and invited them to a session where we'd give them a preview and walk through our design and walk through the AERUP report. And they were not interested in that. Mm. So we went ahead and had the public meeting. And in following the public meeting, we have sent them the full deck, everything okay. We showed at the public meeting and the full AERUP report as we showed at the public meeting.
Did you formally give it to the governor as well?
We have sent it to the individual at the governor's office who is assigned to NDOT type issues. So okay. Now we wait and see.
Sounds great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. A couple of hours later, I spoke with Scott Manning, a spokesman for NDOT, and Kia Gillette, an environmental project manager for HNTB, a construction consulting firm working on the North Split. So my first question is, how much life does the Interloop have left in it?
Well, I think it depends specifically on what segment you're looking at within the Interloop. You know, the overall system is more than 50 years old. Yeah. Pavement, no matter how much preventative maintenance you do over its life, and the same is true for steel and concrete as well, you know, at some point you do have to replace those materials. But the question, really, you have to drill a layer down further. And part of the reason that there's such an urgent need to address the North Split is, one, we have those concerns over aging infrastructure, but we also have a facility and an interchange that frankly just doesn't operate very well, and it presents a lot of safety concerns. It has operational deficiencies, the weave patterns, the congestion. You know, the result of that is about 300 plus accidents a year. So when you combine that with the infrastructure concerns, you have that immediate need to replace the North Split. When you look at the larger downtown interstate system, you do have the aging infrastructure need, but on the south leg and the South Split, for example, we don't have those same operational deficiencies that cause such significant problems like we do in the North Split.
I'm sort of considering the North Split decision to be pretty much settled. So I'm just looking at the Rethink Coalition's idea for recessed highways. I think that their feeling is that the north and the east and the south legs of the Interloop will need to be replaced within a decade or so, or will need to be rehabilitated.
Without some thorough engineering analysis, it would be difficult to assign a specific number, you know, 5 years, 10 years. You know, I think it's fair to say at some point, you know, with there will be need to be a replacement. But with that said, you know, if we have a segment, you know, let's take the South Lake, for example, where generally, you know, from a traffic standpoint, a safety standpoint, it's functioning reasonably well. You know, we can do pavement projects that might extend the life of pavement 15, 20 years. We could do, you know, similar time frame for bridges. So there is certainly time and a horizon in which we can be very thoughtful in how we consider a large-scale replacement of the entire system.
And so I think their viewpoint is it would be great to look at taking those legs and instead of having them above grade, to recess them. Has the state been able to take a look or receive their plans yet?
Yeah, we did receive a copy of the presentation that the coalition shared at their public meeting on Monday evening. So we haven't had a chance to review it in great detail yet, but we are reviewing it. We also have reached out and plan to sit down and talk with them about it also. The Rethink Coalition, among many other groups, the city, the chamber, and other folks, have been really engaged in this discussion.
My understanding is they want two things. One is they want the state or some combination of the state or public bodies to fund a study into the cost of this idea for the recessed highway concept. And they want the work on the north split to be designed in such a way that would accommodate a recessed highway system.
Well, let me take the second part first.
Yeah.
The preliminary preferred alternative that NDOT put forward for the north split project does not take any options off the table for a future rebuild of the entire downtown system. That was a desire that was shared by the mayor earlier this summer.
I don't think that the North Split project is going to preclude anything in the future in the amount of time that would likely take to make a substantial change to the entire downtown system. That's probably decades in the making, and we've got immediate problems at the North Split interchange.
I think in terms of studying this further, this is a conversation that needs to go forward. It needs thorough vetting. It needs more engineering analysis. It needs a deep dive into what do some of these concepts cost? Are they constructible from an engineering standpoint, feasibility? And what type of financing mechanisms would make sense to fund a project like a depressed interstate or some of the other options that have been put out there? To do that, you do need a broad-based coalition, and I think we would want to continue to see groups from the community at large be invested in that and carry that forward.
Fear is that the state is only interested in replicating what it has, the elevated system. Is that a fair assessment?
Not at all, to be frank. And what I would offer is that on the whole, highway systems in 2018 are not designed and built the way they were in the late 1960s when the North Split was, when the entire downtown system was designed and constructed over a period of time. A lot has changed, not only in terms of design and technology, but also the approach is much more context sensitive, especially in an urban environment.
I would say 50 years ago, there was limited, if any, consideration to the surrounding environment. Now we have environmental laws and procedures, and quite frankly, even without the laws and procedures, it's just a better idea to work with the community and design in a way that better fits with the community than maybe it did 50 years ago.
If we, I don't know if this is a possible question to answer, but if we just decided today, if it was up to me and I said, let's do recessed highway in the legs of the north, east, and the south, how long would it take to get to the point where that actually was built?
I think if the decision were made today, and this is, I'm just approximating here, at the earliest, it would probably be a 10-year process.
10-year process, okay. That's interesting. Man, I think one of the other questions that the rethink people have is if you don't take a serious look at potentially changing the way that the levels are configured downtown, when are you ever going to do it?
We can find a balance between achieving the engineering and safety concerns that we have to keep our current system operating the way we need to move people from point A to point B and support the economy of downtown and the region and the entire state. But we can also have these thoughtful discussions about what type of changes would make sense in the future. How would we go about studying those? How would we fund them? I think one of the things that's important to keep in mind when looking at the entire downtown system, you know, let's go back to your hypothetical. If we said, you know, right now today, the three of us in this room, we're going to depress the entire downtown system. It would not be feasible from a traffic standpoint, a mobility standpoint, and it would be extremely detrimental to the downtown economy to shut that entire system down for 10 years to do construction. So something like that would be phased. And with that in mind, just as construction would be phased, we can be phased in how we look at the downtown system.
My thanks again to Paul, Scott, and Kia. Let's hope they find a solution that makes downtown an even better place to work and live. Hey, before you go, I wanted to draw your attention to a couple stories in this week's issue of IBJ. The highest rated radio stations in Indianapolis are baby boomer friendly, which raises the question of what they'll do when that generation starts to lose its hearing. Anthony Shetley explains how stations like Q95 and WFMS are treading the line between embracing older audiences and enticing younger listeners. Also this week, Lindsay Erdody profiles J.D. Ford, an openly gay Democrat who just defeated staunch conservative incumbent Mike Delf in Indiana District 29. Although he had no political experience, Ford dedicated himself to running against Delf 5 years ago when he heard the state senator speak against same-sex marriage. You can read these stories in the copy of IBJ that you have delivered to your front doorstep or on IBJ.com, though trust me, it's easier with a subscription. As always, thanks for listening to the podcast. A quick programming note, we'll be taking next week off for the holiday, but we'll be back December the 3rd. So have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you then.